So we're here in Joshua chapter 1 today. We're going to get a little running start about Joshua and then read about Rahab and the great turnarounds that happen in people's lives when they trust God. No matter how tough things look, when people trust God, God can bring great victories to them. So, verse 3, God has just told Joshua to go into the promised land, and he says in verse 3 of chapter 1, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now look what his biggest instruction is. Because Joshua is a great planner, a great leader, great thinker and strategist, but God's instruction isn't follow your military playbook, although I'm sure he did that. His real instruction is trust God. Do what God says. Look what it says, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you follow the word of the Lord, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And he said, that's why you don't have to be scared. Because although there are armies you will have to fight, there will be difficult terrain and challenges. God will be with you. That's why you shouldn't be dismayed or afraid. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, food, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, this is the group that wanted to stay on the east side of Jordan. They didn't want the land on the other side of the Jordan. And God said, okay, you can have the land, but first you have to go over with the other tribes and fight the Hittites and other groups to get their land. Then once you've helped them claim their land, you can come back and have the quiet land on the east side of the Jordan. So that's who he's talking to. Verse 12, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. He said, they said, we'll do everything you say, just make sure you keep listening to God. Whosoever be he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken, will not listen unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Interesting. So they really were determined. So let's see what happens now. Chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now there are some that have said that, hey, Rahab wasn't really a harlot. She was an innkeeper. but because women didn't usually deal with the public, only the men did. If a woman dealt with the public, she was called a harlot. But I don't think that's either here nor there. She was a woman who was in a really tough situation and believed God. I think that's the main point here. The other one, you can argue as much as you want. I don't know if there's enough evidence to prove it one way or the other. Anyway, verse 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. So these two men came into the house of Rahab. And the king of Jericho heard news that the Israelites sent two spies in. So verse 3, the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. So word traveled quick, even without text messaging and Facebook and everything else. WhatsApp and all those other cool things people have on phones. They didn't have any of that, not even telephones or security cameras. But the king of Jericho heard that these two men of Israel came in and that they wanted to Rahab's house. Verse 4, And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist, I didn't know whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where they went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. She said, Oh yeah, those guys came in here. But I didn't know where they were from, and they left before the gate closed. You better catch them. But, verse 6, she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which he laid in order upon the roof. She went up and hid them under a pile of flax. Isn't that interesting? And the men pursued, verse 7, after them the way to Jordan under the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So the king sent this patrol party to try to find the two spies, went all the way down to the Jordan River, because remember the camp of the Israelites was on the other side of the river, and the gate was shut, the city was secure. They thought the spies were trying to cross back over the river, but they were on Rahab's roof. Interesting. And she said unto the men, verse 9, now look at this. I know that the Lord, that's Jehovah, whenever you have Lord with all caps. I know that the Lord Jehovah hath given you the land, and that your terror, the fear of you guys, is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So she believed in the power of the true God. For we have heard, verse 10, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. So that was 40 years ago, and they still knew that, you see. When you came out of Egypt and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our lives for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So that was quite a deal. She believed in the true God. She believed the true God was going to give them victory over the city of Jericho. And so instead of putting her trust in the king of Jericho and the soldiers of Jericho, she put her trust in the true God. Interesting. And sometimes you'll be around a lot of people who all have a really nutty idea. And you can just quietly sit there and speak in tongues and put your trust in God. And whatever they're doing may or may not work, but trusting God always works. So, verse 15, she let them down by a cord, by a rope, through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I mean, you've probably seen pictures and maybe gone by some archaeological examples of old ancient city walls, very thick, you know, to defend against an army. And in many places, the wall was made up of houses. Think of like we're used to seeing a bunch of townhouses in the city or in the suburbs. And just picture if the back wall of your townhouse is, you know, like 10 feet thick of stone or brick. And there's maybe a window or two way up high because you don't want the soldiers to climb in. So maybe your third or fourth story of your townhouse has a window. And then the front of the house, you know, opens out onto the street inside, but the back of the house is the city wall. So her house was part of the city wall. So that's why she had an upper window where she could let the man out. And the and the other thing is they often had flat roofs on houses, which they could use for all kinds of things. Sit out on a cool night, store your flax stalks. If you're a soldier, be up there and shoot arrows at the guys coming to the city. We're used to our, because we have snow in many of the places where we live, we're used to peaked roofs where the snow and the rain can slide down. But if you're in a more Mediterranean climate where they were, you could have a nice flat roof and very little snow to worry about. So that is why she was able to do that. Verse 15, she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall, town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Because see, the spies ran down to the river. So you go the other way up to the mountains. Lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward, may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread, this, you know, a piece of red rope in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any blood be upon him. In other words, anybody in your house is safe. We'll make sure that anybody in your household that isn't inside the house, they may won't be safe. Verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit, or we will be free of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and bode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, all along the road, but they found them not. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. You see, that's the piece of intelligence that Joshua needed to hear, is that everybody there is waiting to get destroyed. They're expecting to lose. Reminds me of with Gideon, when he was a little nervous about running down to engage the Moabites. God said, just go down and listen to the camp. And here they were all scared and expecting to lose. That's all it took. It was very, very effective. So, chapter 3. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, went through the army. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. So the ark is going to go forward, and you're supposed to be 2,000 cubits. Well, let's see. 1,000 yards is a kilometer. A cubit's 1,000 yards and a half, so that's about a mile. So 2,000 cubits would be about 2 miles. So they were supposed to stay 2 miles back. That's interesting. At any rate, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, about 2 miles by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for we have not passed this way heretofore, before this. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from among you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you over Jordan. Then it goes on and on. I want to get along to where there's the victory at Jericho. Let's go to chapter 6. They cross the Jordan. Their feet are in the water. God stops the waters of the Jordan. The priests, as soon as the priests carrying the ark get their feet in the water, just like the word of the Lord was, the waters stopped. They crossed on dry ground, even though the river was at flood stage. It's one thing to cross over a little trickling brook, you know, get your feet wet or walk on the rocks. You ever seen a river at flood stage, even a small one? This was a pretty big river, and it was at flood stage, and fairly, that's a lot. But God stopped the waters, and they walked over. Now here they're going to go and actually have their victory. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass or surround the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass or surround the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And they went on, and they blew the trumpet. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city. And it goes on and on. The 2nd day they do it, and they keep going. So, verse 7, the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. It's on the 7th day when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. That was the word of the Lord. And God did that a lot of times to protect the Israelites from being, influenced by the false gods of the others. And it was interesting, but that's what the word of the Lord was. Verse 22, but Joshua said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. They burned the city with fire, all that was therein, only the silver, gold, and vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's house, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So it's interesting. Let's read a little bit more about Rahab. Go to Hebrews 11. A little bit more about her. Again, there is so little said about her because all she really said is, I've heard about how the Lord has given you guys victory and he'll give you victory here. So sort of like we read about Ruth, you know. She learned a little bit about the true God and decided to stick with it. So here in Hebrews 11, verse 30, by faith or believing, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about or surrounded for 7 days. By believing, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So interesting. By faith or believing, Rahab did not perish with those that did not believe. So everybody else in Jericho apparently didn't believe God could deliver them. But Rahab did. So that's the big thing to realize, is to believe that God can deliver you. And if you can do that, then you'll see the victory in your life. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. And this is a really... See, the reason this record means so much to me is that everybody else in the city died, except her. You know, think about Lot getting out of, you know, Sodom with his family. That city was destroyed. But he and his wife and two daughters got out. I think that was about all that got out.
She didn't make it very far.
Well, yeah, his wife turned back, and that's another interesting thing. We'll have to ask God what that pillar of salt thing meant.
Yeah.
It's one of those many things. People have many debates and arguments, and I can't say one way or the other why that happened, but it did happen. But here, Rahab and her family are the only ones that came out alive.
And the thing that blesses me is her house was part of the wall, and the walls fell down.
Yes, but obviously her house didn't.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, we don't know if all the wall fell down or just enough of the wall for them to get in, but big, either the entire wall or huge chunks of it fell down, but not her house.
Not her house.
Her house stayed there. Yeah. And how God could do that, and you know, and again, people have big debates. Was it on a fault line, and the shouting, you know, just somehow, you know, was that enough to make the fault line move? I don't know. But they shouted and the wall fell down. And Rahab's house didn't. So.
Right, the river.
Right.
Down the wall.
Right. Right. Well, what do you need? And they're doing fine there. Yeah. It's great stuff. Great stuff indeed. So she was fine. She was fine. So, but look at that again. Verse 31 of Hebrews 11. By believing, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So she believed, they didn't. They died, she didn't. Now, here's something we read last time about looking at Ruth. Let's look at it again. Matthew 1. This is the part that amazes me, because in the genealogy of Jesus Christ here, there's only two women mentioned. Both raised as unbelievers in pagan lands, both against huge odds, choose to believe in the true God. And not only did they survive, they ended up being in the Christ line. Their children ended up being the ancestors of Jesus Christ. So here we go, Matthew 1, verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. So, a guy named Salmon had a son named Boaz with a woman named Rahab. So Boaz's mother was Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. So, Boaz was quite a guy. His mother was a foreigner who was not raised as an Israelite, Rahab. And his wife was Ruth, another foreigner who was not raised as an Israelite. And Boaz's son, with a woman born a pagan foreigner and a wife born a pagan foreigner, who both came to believe God, his son was named Obed. And Obed's son was Jesse, and Jesse's son was David. So Boaz was the great grandfather of King David, meaning Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David, and Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David. So again, what it shows you is God has no respecter of persons. It's nice to be the bloodline of Israel, because that was the group that God made a covenant with, because that was the group that believed what he said and that he chose. But that didn't limit him. If an Israelite didn't believe the true God, they didn't get any special treatment. And if a Moabite or Jericho Canaanite believed in the true God, God honored that. So sometimes we feel held back because we're not of the right background, we don't have the right credentials, or somebody doesn't like us. Well, Rahab didn't get what she got because the Jericho people liked her. They didn't like what she did, but they all died. But God liked what she did because she chose to trust God. And those representing God, Joshua and his men, they honored that. And so it's amazing. Let's read a couple other ones, a couple other favorite things, just later in the book of Joshua, to sort of summarize what happened in the whole book. I mean, we could read the whole, maybe we'll read the whole book of Joshua sometimes. Remarkable records on how God gives them great victory as they go in to claim the land. But two little summary verses I really like, which sort of summarize all these great victories that God gave them there. Joshua 21:45, we read, "There failed not aught," nothing. "There failed not anything. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." So everything God had spoken to the house of Israel came to pass. Nothing failed. Isn't that remarkable? Nothing God said failed. You know, I don't know about you, but if I have great intentions of what I'm going to do on a certain day, I'm really happy if I get half of it done. Because I get distracted, I get busy. A little five-minute project turns into a five-hour project. And so, but not God. Everything he said he was going to do, he got done. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And then Joshua 24 is sort of a summary of everything that God did in the book of Joshua. We may read that another day, but let's just read the summary verse, verse 31. "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua." You know, those that had worked with him and, you know, been on his team, so to speak. "All the elders that had overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he'd done for Israel." So during the time of Joshua and during the time of those he trained and worked with, Israel served the Lord. Then after it, you get into the period of the book of Judges where it was really up and down. They didn't have as much consistency. But the time of Joshua was a great time of believing. But remember, the previous generation under Moses was not a time of great believing. So you see things go up and down. It's a matter of where people are. Some people just decide to dig their heels in and believe God, and other people choose not to. And when they dig their heels in and believe God, God blesses them, protects them, prospers them, and they do great. When they don't, God can't do much for them. So it's interesting stuff. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the great turnaround in Rahab's life. Thank you for that being a part of a bigger turnaround for the entire nation of Israel, that you brought them victory as you got them across the Jordan and went in to claim the promised land. And as they looked to you and trusted you, you gave them great victory. And may our lives be the same. May we look to you, trust you, live your word, believe your word, pray for one another, meditate on your word, expect your blessings. And may we see great turnarounds. If we're having great days and great success, may that continue and grow even more successful and more prosperous. If we're having great challenges and great difficulties, may you work in our hearts to show us how to improve and move on and be victorious in spite of them. We thank you for this and for your love, for your kindness, and for the joy of walking with you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.